We're going to be in several places this morning. This is a Mother's Day teaching for me, and I hope that it blesses your heart. I will tell you that I was preparing this and going through and making notes. I was thinking, boy, this is like a home movie you're going to have to listen to, because a lot of this has to relate to my life and my wife's life. So if it feels like home movies, I'm sorry, but that's what it's going to feel like. So anyways, Mother's Day, it's a national holiday in the United States. It's always celebrated on the second Sunday of May, which is a good thing because today is the second Sunday of May, and we're honoring our moms, honoring our grandmothers, and all those women in our lives that have really had that influence on us. Frequently, it's celebrated by cards and flowers and presents that we give to our moms. Justin, please remember that this morning. People attending church with their moms, it's always a special time. You know, there's an old song that was written back in the early, I don't know when, but it's an old song, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the words to you. It says, M is like the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. Yesterday at the convalescent ministry, I had the chance to sing that, just like every Mother's Day. They always make me sing that, and it's always corny, but they always like it. It always gives them that encouragement as moms at the convalescent center that we go to. You know, my mom was always there for me. She was always there. She was a great, great lady. She's graduated to heaven at this point, along with my dad. But she was always there. She was a stay-home mom, and she was always there for me. She actually made a lot of my clothes back in high school, which was not the greatest thing. But, you know, if you look at me, it was hard for me to buy clothes, and there was basically two places, JCPenney's Big and Tall and Sears Big and Tall, and that was about it. I mean, there was more places, but we couldn't afford those places, so she made a lot of my pants, and it was okay, but she was a great seamstress. She loved to sew, and so she did the best that she could. She was an excellent cook, except she made fish and liver and onions. Oh, it was terrible. And to this day, I still can't eat fish, and I still can't eat liver and onions. I didn't like it back then. You've always had slab of liver in front of you, and it looked like a piece of shoe leather there laying on I could never really figure that out. You know, she always was there. She was a disciplinarian. I can remember in my later teenage years, you know, back in those days, we didn't have air conditioning in the house. The windows were wide open. And I was in the backyard with some of my friends, and I cut loose with a four-letter word. I can remember that. And you know what? She heard it because the windows were open. Guess what she did? She came out and grabbed me by the collar, dragged me into the house, and put soap in my mouth, a bar of soap. And thank goodness it wasn't lava soap. If you remember lava soap, that was that real gritty stuff. I think she put Dial or palm olive or something. I don't remember. For our kids, we used the squirt soap, you know, because it was a whole lot easier. You just right in there. We didn't have to do that very, very much, but there was a couple times. She was a great mom, and I think about her a lot. She was also very instrumental in getting my wife and I together. My mom was a member of a group called the Christian Women's Club back in those days, and she knew my future mother-in-law. She knew my wife's mom. And there was a time when she said, hey, Ron, you need to call this young lady. You knew her back in Sunday school about 15 years ago. And I said, Mom, come on, give me a break. She's not going to remember me. Call her. She's a really nice girl. Call her and ask her for a date. I said, I'm not going to do that. Well, one Friday night, I was really desperate. I had no date, so I called her. I'm being honest with you guys this morning. I called the house, and her dad's name was Jerry also, and I was just praying when I dialed that number that he wasn't going to pick up. But my wife-to-be picked up the phone, and I asked her out, and 2 years later, we were married. So my mom was very instrumental in getting us together as husband and wife. How did this holiday come about? Well, more importantly, what do our mothers deserve from us? What do, not just on Mother's Day, but every day? Just a little bit of history. The origin? Well, in 1907, Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia started the campaign to honor mothers 2 years after her own mother had passed away. In 1910, West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day. A year later, nearly every state officially marked the day that we celebrate as Mother's Day. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day as a national holiday for the second Sunday of May. I always thought that it was probably founded by somebody named Mr. Hallmark, or some florist, or maybe the Hershey's Candy Company. I'm not totally convinced that they weren't behind it, but that's how it kind of started. It became very commercialized, and Anna Jarvis, who had promoted it, she looked at Mother's Day as a very bitter disappointment to her. And in fact, she became enraged by the commercialism of Mother's Day. She filed a lawsuit, actually, to stop Mother's Day in 1923, but she was unsuccessful. She was arrested for disturbing the peace, and she was upset because at this event that she was at, the white carnations were being sold that were supposed to honor mothers, and she was just really upset about it. She said, I want it to be a day of sentiment and not a day of profit. So today, many moms are really happy to receive flowers and gifts and all that kind of stuff. But moms certainly deserve so much more than each one of us. So moms, I would just tell you, if you go home today and there's a sink full of dirty dishes, today's not the day to do them. They'll be there tomorrow. So, you know, just do them tomorrow. Some of us may have difficult times, difficult memories of our mom. I'm not one of those. I have great memories of my mom. But you know, if your mom has passed on, whether you have good memories, bad memories, whatever it is, I would challenge you today to take just a few minutes in quiet time just to remember your mom today. Remember the good things. Even if you had difficult times with your mom, remember the good times that you have. Focus in on those. Because I'm sure there's a lot of times, good times that were spent with your mom, just like there was for me. What moms deserve? Well, we're going to go through a couple things here. What moms deserve? Number one, they deserve obedience. They deserve obedience. Ephesians 6:1 says it this way, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Solomon counseled his son in Proverbs 1:8, do not forsake the law of your mother. You know, growing up, I told you this was going to be like home movies, and it's going to be. I'm sorry, but I got to relate these things that happened to me in this teaching today. You know, growing up, I was not allowed to even think about, number one, dancing. Dancing was not allowed. Now, some people ask, can Christians dance? And some can and some cannot. But I was not allowed to dance. That wasn't even anything in our home. There was never going to be playing cards in our house. And to this day, I still have a difficult time remembering the suits of a card deck. We weren't allowed. My mom, I can remember, my mom, when I told her, I must have been in my late teens, I was next door with my friend next door, and he taught me how to play canasta. Now, I don't even remember how to play now, but I just remember it was a whole bunch of cards. And when I came home and told my mom I had learned how to play canasta, she was not real happy about that. Now I was in my late teens. We weren't allowed to watch movies. I can remember coming home one time and said, hey, I just watched a movie next door. It was The Great Escape. You remember that movie, The Great Escape, war movie? That didn't go over real well. But I had to be obedient to my mom. Now, I wasn't real obedient in those times that I did that, but most of the time I was, except when she heard me say that four-letter word, and then that soap went in my mouth. Now, the obedience, I will tell you, comes during the child-rearing time, when kids are growing up. I think that's really evident in today's world. If you're out in the world and you see parents with the kids that just seem to be a little bit unruly, there's not much obedience there. We're to be obedient to our moms. Are we giving, or did we give obedience to our moms the way we should have? Number two, we owe them respect. We owe them respect. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. My mother-in-law lived well into her 90s. She was a wonderful lady, and she always used to tell us how strict her parents were, especially her dad. But she honored her parents, and she lived well into her 90s. Her parents were very strict, especially her dad. She wasn't allowed either to dance. She wanted to take dance lessons, she always told us. But her dad always said, no, you're not going to take dance lessons because you'll be a show-off. She honored that. She honored the fact that she needed to be in the house before the streetlights came on. She honored her parents. And I believe that the Lord gave her longevity in her life for two reasons. Because she honored her mom and dad, and number two, to annoy her son-in-law. If most of you know me, if you knew my mother-in-law and myself, we had a very, very unusual relationship. If I didn't pick at her, she would think I was really mad at her. So I was continually picking at my mother-in-law, but I loved her. She was a wonderful woman. And she filled that spot. After my mom died, I felt like she was my mom while she was here. She was a wonderful woman. She honored her parents. She honored her parents. Solomon warned of grave consequences for those who cursed their parents. Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out into deep darkness. Ouch. Wow. A Chinese proverb says this, respect for one's parents is the highest duty of civil life. Common decency demands that we respect our parents, especially our moms. Now, if your mom isn't here, my mom isn't here, I can't respect her anymore. But I can think about and go back in time and think and contemplate on how she raised me to respect her and other people. And I think that's important, even if our moms aren't here anymore, that we go back and we take that time just to remember. Take that time just to remember and to think about what our moms did for us and how we were blessed in such a great way. Number one, obedience. Number two, respect. Number three, affection. In 1 Kings 19:20, Elijah demonstrated the affection properly due his parents. 1 Kings 19:20 reads this way, and he left the oxen and ran to Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to them, go back, for what have I done to you? That's the call of Elijah. He's going back. He wants to give the affection to his mom and dad that's due them before he answers the call of Elijah. So we offer that affection to our parents, to our mom, because they gave us that affection as children. You know, that affection can be, I love you, Mom, hugs and gifts, whatever it takes. We were with a lady yesterday whose daughter is in assisted living. And we had the chance to go with her to see her daughter. And I just watched her the affection that the mom showed the daughter and the affection the daughter showed the mom. Are we showing that affection to our moms if they're still here? I hope so. My mom moved in with us after my dad passed away. And it was difficult for me because as a guy, you know, I had moved out and I had moved on. I was married, moved out of the house. We had a son already. And it was hard for me to live in a house and have my mom back in the house. It was difficult. Because she always wanted to know, what's going on? How come you're doing it this way? And why aren't you doing it that way? And I had a difficult time with that. But now my wife was just the opposite. My wife took care of my mom. She took her to a doctor's appointment. She took her shopping. Made meals for her when she had to. Ran errands for my mom. She was always there to take care of my mom as she lived with us. She was the person that took care of my mom until she passed away. She had that affection. I had affection towards my mom also, but it was just more difficult. But my wife stepped up and did what she had to do. Obedience, respect, affection, wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 10:1 says this, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is the grief to his father and bitterness to him who bore him. It's interesting, as we read in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom as he grew from childhood to adulthood. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You know, moms worry about their kids a lot. And we shouldn't give them unnecessary grief if they're still here with us. I can remember when our kids were out of the house at night. My wife was always a little bit uneasy, but I just went to sleep, but she was there for them. My mother-in-law, now that's another story. When we were dating, I would take my wife home and, you know, we would pull up into the driveway and say our goodnights. But her mom was still awake. Her mom never went to sleep or went to bed until all her kids were in the house. And they had a kitchen window that you could see from the driveway. And over the kitchen stove was that, I don't know if you remember that vent that had the push-button light on it, and you could click, 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 the light would turn on and off. You could hear the clicker from about a block away because all windows were open. And so as soon as we would pull up in the driveway, she's in the kitchen pushing this light on and off, pushing, you know, to let my wife know, my chair know that it was time to come in the house. I teased her about that a lot. But she didn't care. She had worry for her kids. She was always concerned for them. And as we think back, and I think one of the reasons to just take those few minutes today to just remember the wisdom that our moms have embarked upon us. And I know it's there. Wisdom, affection, wisdom, righteousness, righteousness. The righteousness bring joy and gladness to their parents. Proverbs 23:24-25. The father of the righteous will rejoice, will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You know, I think more important than any achievement is that of righteous character. Righteous character. Do you have righteous character? You know, as a salesman, that's what I do. I'm a salesman. I go out and I visit with people to see what they might like to do in their backyard, what kind of pool they'd like to put in their backyard. And I have the opportunity all the time to, you know, get into gray areas, maybe shade the truth a little bit. Got to be careful about that. You know, kind of push them towards buying the product from me. There's been a lot of times lately, because we're so busy, people will call and say, hey, I'd like to put a pool in our backyard. And I say, well, first thing I need to tell you is that we're booked out for the rest of the year. This will be next year before we can even start. Wow. Thanks for telling me. You see, that's part of the righteousness that I know my mom instilled into me. Whether it was you can't dance and you can't play cards and you can't go to the movies or whatever it was, she instilled that stuff into me. And I hope that I still carry it on nowadays. And I hope as believers in Christ that if you're here this morning, that you have those same pieces of righteousness instilled in you. The other night, my wife and I were out, and we were driving down Federal Highway at Commercial Boulevard going south. And I just happened to look over to one of the side streets, and I saw a motorcycle laying down on the grass, and there was a woman underneath it. I said to Jer, I said, we need to go back around and come back around and see if she needs help. So we got back around, and she had gotten out from underneath the bike, and she was there kicking the bike. And I said, I rolled down my window. I said, stop, don't kick your bike. And she says, I can't make it stand up. It's too heavy. I said, well, let's get it up on the tires, and, you know, you won't have to kick it anymore. So I got out of the car, and I helped her get the bike up. Boy, that thing was heavy. I don't know why anybody would want to ride one of those things, but we got it back up on its wheels, and she put it on a kickstand, and I said, you know, I hope you're okay. I said, make sure you go to church this Sunday. That's all I said to her. I didn't have anything to give her. I didn't have a track with me. I didn't have any of that stuff. And I wish now that I had taken a minute just to pray with her, but I didn't. I should have. Shame on me. But I just said, hope you go to church this Sunday. And she pointed up and she said, thanks for helping me. I don't know what I would have done. Now, the reason I tell you that story is that not to re-praise on me, because nothing that I did means praise. But what I'm saying is that when you come across those people in the world, that you take that opportunity to share with them, to help them, to pray with them. I don't know how many times I've walked across the street to our old neighbors, and she was having problems, and I would say, hey, let's pray about it right now. Do you take that opportunity? Do you have that righteousness in you that was put into you by your mom, your dad? Romans 3:21 and 22 says this, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteous of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, for there is no difference. Righteousness. Do we give our moms the righteousness they deserve? You know, I believe that moms are such great prayer warriors when it comes to their kids. I know my mom prayed for me. I know, number one, she prayed for me to find the right person for my life that I could share my life with. Even though she directed me towards the right person, she prayed for me. She prayed for her kids. I have two sisters, and I know she prayed for all of us all the time. In fact, my one sister and brother-in-law were missionaries in Colombia, and in the mid-60s, they went down to Costa Rica for language school, and they were leaving the country, and back then, there was really no way of communicating very well. You could send letters through the mail. It would take weeks to get there. Every now and then we could send a cassette tape down and they could hear our voices. But there wasn't a good way to communicate. They were going all the way to Costa Rica for language school for a year, and then they were headed to Colombia, South America, where they would spend 40 years off and on for ministry, starting churches down there. And I can still remember to this day someone asking my mom, how is it that you can let your kids go so far away? Aren't you worried? And my mom made this response, no, because I know they're in God's will. And if they stay here, they won't be in God's will. I'd rather have them in God's will, and that's why I can let them go. And she prayed for them on such a regular basis. My mom was a great prayer warrior. My mother-in-law was a great prayer warrior. She prayed all the time. She was a great prayer warrior. Righteousness. Care. Parents, especially widowed mothers, deserve our care. 1 Timothy 5:4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith. Listen to this, and worse than an unbeliever. Whew. Those are heavy words. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted before the world. You know, we as children are supposed to be our parents' social security. We're supposed to be there for them. They deserve the best care that we can afford to give them. You know, my mom lived with us until she passed away. We didn't have to put her into assisted living because we could take care of her. She didn't get to the point where she needed much more care than we could give her. Now, my mother-in-law was a different story. When she fell and broke her hip, she was able to stay at home for a while with nurses that came in. But after a while, it began that she needed more care than we could give her. She couldn't live alone anymore, so we had to put her into assisted care. Was that wrong? No. Because she needed the professional care that we couldn't give to her. We didn't just drop her off, though, at that nursing home, at that assisted living facility. You see, we would go, my wife and I would go every Friday night, and we would visit her. We would either take her out to dinner or have dinner with her. My wife would take her to physical therapy. She would take her to doctor's appointments. She would spend time with her. There was many times that when my mother-in-law was in the hospital, my wife would stay at the hospital with her. Stayed there the whole time. That's what it was all about. You see, even though we had to put mom into that assisted living, the care was still there because my wife cared for her mom. My wife and I have been involved in convalescent ministry for about 14 years. We've been at the same facility for all that time. We've seen people come and go. Lots of people. Lonely people. There's so many people at that convalescent facility, that assisted living facility, that are just dropped off there. And they're sitting there staring out into space. A lot of them don't know what day it is. They don't even know what month it is. It's hard for them to even know what time it is other than at 11:30 they go for lunch. It's difficult. Yesterday was a day that we had our church service there for them. We made artificial corsages for all the women. And we gave all those women artificial corsages for Mother's Day. That was a special day for them because they were remembered. And that's what it's all about. I can remember the first time I went to the convalescent ministry 14 years ago. I went into the facility and I sat down next to a gentleman. His name was Mr. Rice. I can still remember him. I sat there and talked to Mr. Rice for a while, and I thought to myself, wow, this is really bad. I can't do this. I want to get out of here. I can't do this. It was depressing. I was looking around for my wife, and of course, she was nowhere to be found. I said, well, I guess I'm stuck. So a little while later, this gentleman came out, and he said, hey, we're going to have church service now. Come on back. And he directed us back there. And I sat next to a lady. Her name was Mary. And Mary was a wonderful Christian lady. And I sat next to her, and I chatted with her. And she just told me her story, and I shared with her. That was 14 years ago. The Lord spoke to my heart right there and said, you can do this. You can be here for these folks that need somebody to talk to for a few minutes. You can take the time to be here on a Saturday morning to come over and do some worship for them, to tell them a joke or a story and make them laugh. We were at an assisted living facility yesterday, and there was a guy that came out for prayer, and he was reluctant to come out. He didn't want to come out. But he finally came down the hallway, and I said, hey, how you doing? We prayed. And then I taught him how to shake hands. You know, I have a weird handshake. I shake, I do this, and then we do this, and all kinds of stuff. It's about a five-step process to shake hands. And after about five times of teaching him how to do that, he had a smile on his face, and he said, thanks for coming. Thanks for praying for me. Thanks for being here. You see, that's what people want. They just want some attention. They just want some care. That's what it's all about. Spending time with folks. You know, the Bible talks about the fatherhood of God. But you know, there's scripture that also describes God consistent with motherhood also. There's a couple verses I want to share with you. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen together under her brood, under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus uses this picture of a mother hen to express the relationship he longs to have with his children. We have a lot of ducks in our backyard. If you would like some, you're welcome to come get them. I'll happily load them into your car. But the little ones, the little tiny ones that were just born about 10 minutes ago are out walking around. And you know, if you get too close to the mom, she spreads her wings and they all go underneath. Just so you know, you never want to approach those mother ducks too close because they get really violent. They'll start weird. That's that mother's care. Do we get under the wings of Jesus when we need to? When times are tough, times are hard? When it's stressful? Do we remember that Jesus is right there for us? God cares for his people like an eagle hovering over her young. Deuteronomy 32:11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. I was out in the front yard the other day, and we have a tree in our front yard, and I got too close to it, and this mockingbird was flying all around me. And I looked into the tree, and there was a nest there. Just that mockingbird just watching out for its young. Psalm 22:9-10. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. God's concerned for his people, like that midwife who cares for the child that she's just delivered. God is concerned over you. Jesus is concerned over you. He loves you. Isaiah 49:15, God will never forget his children like a mother will not forget their nursing child. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. That's a wonderful promise. God will never forget us. He's always there for us. He's always watching us. And God comforts his people like a nursing mother. Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. If you're going through those difficult times right now, maybe you're having some difficult times in your life, Jesus says he'll be there to comfort you. He'll be there to comfort each one of us. And that's that wonderful promise that we can hold on to. You know, we can choose to give our moms flowers and gifts, cards on Mom's Day, but they deserve our obedience, our respect, our affection, wisdom, righteousness, and our care. If you're listening online, or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, hey, Ron, this all sounds great, but you don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been at. You don't know my history. You're right, I don't. But Jesus does. And Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you can put your name in there, for God so loved Ron, for God so loved you. You can put your name right in there. If you're not a believer this morning is the day that you can give your life to Jesus Christ. What a better day than on Mother's Day. You can celebrate that you gave your life to Jesus on Mother's Day 2022. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, today is the day to do that. Today is the day that you can give your life to him and begin living that life filled with Jesus Christ in your life. You know, what does it mean to give your life to Jesus Christ? Well, number one, you have to repent. What does that mean? Well, if you're walking towards sin, you need to turn 180 degrees and walk away from sin. Yeah, you need to ask Jesus to come into your life, to take control of your life, to take that sin. Are we going to sin? Of course we are. The Apostle Paul often said, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. That's the Apostle Paul, our New Testament pastor. So are we going to sin? Yes. But we can repent, and we can say we're sorry when we repent, and we can repent right now. If you're not a believer, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you can repent and give your life to Jesus this morning. So if that's you this morning, whether you're here or listening online, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads, and I'm going to pray a simple prayer. You can repeat after me. They're not magical words. They're just a prayer that you can repeat to ask Jesus into your heart. Dear Jesus, I ask you this morning to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Father, I commit right now that you were crucified on the cross, but 3 days later arose from the dead. Father, I love you, and I want to give my life to you this morning. Take control of my life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, if you're here, let me know. If you're online, send us an email so we can pray for you. Today is the best day of your life. Now you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. What a wonderful thing that is. That's the most important thing that you could ever do. You'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And he's coming soon, folks. Just look around. It's not going to be long. Now, with that, I will say to you, as we go out this morning, we're going out into the mission field. As you go through those doors, we're going out into the mission field. Take that time this week to share with someone, to pray for someone. If you don't have a name on a card dropped in that tithe box, why not? You must know someone this morning that needs Jesus in your life that we need to pray for on a regular basis. Write down that name for salvation. We need to be praying for folks because the time is short. The time is short. We need to remind people that now is the time to come to Jesus. Now is the time. I hope you'll take just that few minutes today just to remember your mom. Just take that few minutes. I had fun putting this together because it just gave me a chance to remember my mom a little bit. My mom's been gone for many years. But it just gave me that chance just to remember a lot of the things that my mom did for me. And I hope you'll take that chance, that time this morning, today sometime, to just remember your mom. And if your mom's still here, give her a big hug and say thank you for all that you've done.